interesting story to tell you this morning, and I hope it's encouraging. I found it exceedingly encouraging. So I'm spending a lot of time up at the manse talking to different contractors and handing things to Ben. And every now and again he says, "Naomi, I'm not so sure about this, or we're worried about this, or we're concerned about that." And I always turn round and say to him, "That's cool, we'll pray about that." And he looks at me and's like, "Right. But what happens if..." And I'm like, "That's fine, we'll pray about it." And I think he's starting to get the idea that I'm not too worried about it, that somebody else has already got hold of this and I don't need to worry about it. And this has been going on for weeks. Friday, I get a text from Ben. Now, Thursday at Coffee Hub, we were talking about how we needed to pray for everybody that works at the manse. And there were certain jobs coming up. And therefore, that is why in Sparks there's an update on the manse, because I would like you to pray for all the guys working in the manse. And now and again, there will be different things happening that I might ask you to pray specifically for. Now, one thing I'd been praying specifically for is, because we are changing some of the doors on the inside of the building, apparently you need to talk to building control.
They won't get back to you, and we're not allowed to do anything until we've spoken to them.
So this was going to hold the thing everything up, and we're on a tight schedule, and they're trying to get me in as quickly as possible. So I've been praying about this for a few days. Then on Friday morning, I wrote up the list to go in Spark for prayer. So of course, I'm also praying at the same time doing that. I then get a text. "Have you been praying, Naomi?" And I'm like, "Why?" "I've just got onto building control and they've moved everything forward and it's all sorted out."
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. So I went, "Well, funny you should mention that. Yes, I have been praying and I've been getting church to do the same." So I want to encourage you. It works. We know it does. But actually, sometimes we need reminding, don't we? That actually, we pray to our Father and he blesses us. Now, I'm not telling you that everything is going to go smoothly, but I praise God for his blessing. So, in that, shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for all the things that are coming together for the manse. We pray for each of the workers who are working so hard to complete the job as soon as possible while not cutting corners. We pray that you would bless each and every one of them, and may your hand be over all the work that is being done. And as a church, we pray that you would continue to open our hearts and minds to all that you have for us, that you would continue to protect and keep us safe as we step out in faith. In a world that seems to be so disorganized, Lord, with the political situation in our own country, with resignations and apathy, we ask that your hand would be on the situation of our leaders in this country, that you would drive them to be better, that you would inspire them to honour you in all they do. And Lord, on this day, 70 years after our Queen came to be our Queen, we thank you for her consistent, dutiful service to this country. For whether or not you agree in a monarchy, this is a lady who follows you faithfully,
who has a heart for this country and does what she believes is best in serving it. She is a lady with dignity and who honours you daily. I pray that we would see her example and choose to live the same. And around the world, Lord, with so many things that draw our attention in the news, it can feel overwhelming. But Lord, we can trust in you. We can come to you with all those worries and concerns and lay them at your feet and know that you are Lord over all the world. Help those who influence social action, who influence culture and politics. We ask for your hand to be on all those that have influence. For you are a mighty God. We thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you that you love us. And thank you that you continue to pour out your grace on us, no matter how much we mess up. You love us and draw us to be better. We lay all of these worries at your feet, Lord. And thank you for your love. Amen. Could I have reading, please?
The reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and beginning at verse 6. If you want to follow it in the church Bibles, it's on page 1164. So that's 2 Corinthians 9, starting at verse 6, and the section is entitled Generosity Encouraged. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Chris. Sorry, quick technical adjustment.
I have to make a confession, okay? This is one of the hardest things to preach on. Preaching on giving is difficult, okay? So saying that I was going to make you uncomfortable, God is continuing to make me uncomfortable. We kind of worked that out, didn't we? The thing is that God calls us to give generously. God calls us to give beyond our human understanding. And that can be difficult because we live in a culture that doesn't talk about money. There are some cultures where the first question you ask somebody is, how much money do you earn? Can you imagine doing that here? But we don't talk about money, do we? It's personal, isn't it? Don't have to discuss it. We also are told we need to save for our old age. We are told we need to save for a rainy day. But is that what God says? Because God asks us to trust in him. So for me, preaching on this is hard because I don't want anybody in this room to feel like I'm bending your arm, that I'm making you feel guilty, or I'm trying to distress you. We are a church that is being called out. God is saying, are you ready to go? And you have all said yes. There are consequences to that, by the way, if you hadn't worked that out already. We've been praying protection continually over all of you. Because it's hard. God asks us to give generously. Now, that doesn't just mean financially. That means to give of our time. Because actually, that's one of the most valuable commodities, especially in the world today, that works at 120 billion miles an hour, where we're busy. We're all busy, aren't we? We've all got demands on our time. But what about the person who's struggling and needs someone to talk to? What about the person who's lonely and hasn't spoken to someone for days? Have you got time? But we're not talking about time today. We're talking about money. And it's interesting that at the beginning of 2 Corinthians 9, Paul talks to the Corinthians and is actually complimenting them. Because he says, there is no need for me to write to you about this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians. I bet they felt good, eh? Telling them that since last year, you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Paul has seen the Corinthians being generous, sacrificially generous. They have heard that there are people in need. They have sold their possessions and given generously. And Paul is showing us that this is a generosity that should be emulated. He's been boasting about it so that others may be encouraged to do the same. Now, quite often when people preach on sacrificial giving, can you guess what Bible reading they normally use? I'm going to wake you up now because you're all sitting there and I can just see your eyes and this stuff. Any guesses?
Malachi 3.
Sorry?
Malachi 3.
So testing me and tithings of offerings. Can anyone think of a gospel story that you might use?
Maybe the widow and the mite, where she's saying,
Yes.
Because it was in relation to what he got into her charity.
That's right.
And that's where I thought I was going to start, in Mark 12, 41 to 44, where Jesus is sitting down, watching people give the offerings in the synagogue, and everyone is making a big deal of dropping their money into the plate, making lots of noise, so everybody can see what they're giving. And there is a poor widow who drops two coins and walks away, very quietly. And Jesus is saying, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, and she has given out of her poverty, put in everything and all that she has to live on. Jesus is telling us that when we behave in a generous way, it is given back to us. But he's also telling us that it shouldn't be out of obligation. It shouldn't be for a show to go, look at me, look how generous I am. It shouldn't be, oh, I really have to do this, but I don't want to. It should come from our hearts. And we shouldn't judge anyone on their giving either. So in Luke 6, 37 to 38, in verse 38 is used for giving, because it says, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, passed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Sounds good, that, doesn't it? So anything I give, God's going to multiply it and pour it on my lap. Excellent. But like, prosperity gospel. Of course, this is how it happens. You won't ever hear me say that, by the way. What's interesting is how easy, and I've said this before, you can take a Bible verse completely out of context and change what it means. Not only can you change what it means, you can take out the richness of what it means. Because if you read verse 37, it says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. And you will be forgive, and you will be forgiven. Then it says, give, and it will be given to you. It then says, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with measure, the measure you use will be the measure to you. So actually, the second part of that sentence isn't actually talking about money at all, and isn't a prosperity gospel. What it's talking about is your heart, your attitude to others will be paid back to you in the same way. God's saying how you give to others, both in your attitude and your heart and your finance, will be returned to you. So we're not taking out finance, but it's all of us. It's our heart, our attitude to life. Are we going to choose to live as our culture and our society asks, or are we going to choose to say, no, I'm not going to live like that. I'm going to live how God calls me to live. I'm going to be obedient and step out in faith. However hard that is, and however uncomfortable it is, I am going to trust, because he promises me that he will not forsake me. Have you got that level of faith? It runs through the entire Bible, as all the way through. Proverbs, there are so many. Honour the Lord with your wealth. With the first fruits of your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing. Your vats will be brimming over with new wine. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. A gift opens the way and ushers the giver into the presence of the great.
right from the very beginning, Cain and Abel, you have one brother giving, one not. It was heart. Where is your heart before God?
And as Otmar said, Malachi 3, 8 to 12 says that actually this is the one thing God asks us to test him on. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offering, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and vines in your fields will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Test me in this. We're told not to test God, aren't we? But actually, in this, God says, test me. Because God gives us the blessings in our lives, but they're not for us. The blessing in our lives are to be given for those who need to meet with him. All nations will call you blessed. How would it look in a society that tells you you've got to look after yourself, you've got to look after number one, store up for a rainy day, store up for your retirement, when you go, actually, I know for the kingdom this is needed. I know that this person is going without, therefore I know I need to give. I have more, they have less, I know I can help. That makes an impact. That makes an impact in the society because people outside of the family of God look in going, well, that's weird. Does anybody know the Entertainer toy shop? Does anybody know who owns it? He is a Christian. What's his name?
Gary.
Okay. Well, Gary's not just a Christian. Gary is a committed Christian who lives his life differently, including in his business. I don't know if you know this, but you will never find an entertainer shop open on a Sunday. Because he believes God told him never to open his shop on a Sunday. Does anyone know the Bullring in Birmingham?
Yeah.
Huge shopping complex built at the same time as Corum was born. And obviously, the entertainer wanted to be in the Bullring, the same as everyone else. But the contract said that whenever the shopping centre was open, every shop had to be open, which meant he had to be open on a Sunday. So he said, okay, no, I'm not coming. And they were like, well, what do you mean you're not coming? Because I don't know if you've also noticed, a lot of toy shops aren't doing very well. And they wanted a toy shop in the Bullring. And he said, no, I'm a Christian and God has called me not to open my shops on a Sunday. It means that my staff get a day off and get a day of rest. No, I'm not opening on a Sunday and therefore I can't sign this contract. Do you know what they did? They wrote him a new contract. He is the only shop in the whole of the Bullring that is shut on a Sunday. That makes a statement. That makes a statement to the world
that regardless of whether you think this is good business, I am not shutting, I am not opening on a Sunday. Because I honour God in the way I work. It's countercultural. And God calls us to be something different. Now, when we remember that everything we have is a blessing of God, it is given to us in order that we may do things that are for His glory, not for our own. And God asks that we support His church. But that is not a demand, that is a request. This isn't you must, because God doesn't work like that. God shows us a way of living that He believes will bless us. It's our choice whether we do it or not. It's why we asked you last week to go away and pray. We are not going to batter down your door and say, give us your money. You voted for the manse to be refurbished. We need your money now. Cough up. Who's heard preachers like that? Yeah. I know I have. But that's not what God asks. God says, I have a way for you to live. Are you going to live like that? It's your decision. And when we step out in faith, even a little bit, we take a little tiny step, and oh look, God's there and meets us. So maybe next time we can take a little bigger step. And God meets us. It's all right, I'm not going to do another one. Your face kind of went. Every time we step out in faith and meet God, our faith increases. And the thing is, we're all different. We're all at a different place in our relationship with God. We are all in a different place in our levels of faith. So we do not judge one another, which is why you seal your envelope. It's nobody else's business. It is between you and God. You don't justify it. You don't have to feel guilty if you can't do it. It's between you and God. Now, I'm happy to talk to you if you want to talk about it, because it's difficult. I know it is. But it's between you and God, nobody else. It's why you don't sign the pledge that's in the certificate in the envelope. Can I borrow an envelope? This is called planning. Thank you. So, in your envelopes, there are three bits of paper. One of them is our bank account details. Got a good one there. The other one is a gift aid form, because the government will give us 25p to every pound you give us. Good one. Well worth doing, mate. We get lots of money from that, don't we? We do. This is your pledge certificate. And on it, you have your name, address, phone number, email, and whether you pledge one-off payment or a monthly payment. No signature. No date. This is not a legal document. This is between you and God and nobody else. So if God is stirring you and you are majorly uncomfortable with what God is stirring you to do, I would ask you, is it you uncomfortable? Or is God challenging you in faith? And that's what's making you uncomfortable. I don't want anybody here today thinking, oh, I have to give something or I'll get into lots of trouble. Because you won't. Nothing in this church is to be about anything but what God is asking of us. What I want doesn't matter. What Alison wants doesn't matter. Sorry, darling. Even Rosemary, it doesn't matter what you want either. It doesn't matter what we want. What is important is what God wants. Do you have faith for that? I know I do. And I know there's many of us in the leadership who do. Because God has been doing a new thing. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is stirring this church. It's time for us to stand. It's time for us to have faith. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's all about God. God blesses a generous heart. Now, it might not necessarily be the way you expect him to bless you. It may look different. So I'm not going to be standing here going, if you give £10, it gets multiplied tenfold and you'll get £100. Because that's what a prosperity gospel is. Because the Bible says, I will increase your blessing tenfold. Now, I know people who've tested that, and it has come. I've known those that have tested it, and it hasn't come financially. But when you talk to them, it has come back to them tenfold in other ways, both in their faith and in their walk with God, in their fruitfulness, in their ministry. So it might not look like you think it'll look. So don't give us money expecting that to come back into your bank. It's not a gambling thing. Okay, God, I'm going to put a tenner into the lottery, and I'm pretty sure you promised me I'll win. You will win. But I don't know what that'll look like, because here's a newsflash, I'm not God. Everything we have and everything we own doesn't belong to us, so we don't own anything. It's all his. I've often had interesting conversations with people when they've said to me, you seem very blasé about your children leaving home. My children don't belong to me. God has blessed me with looking after them, and I hope I've done a good enough job that when it's time to leave home, they can do it in a secure and safe way. They don't belong to me. I'm married to Mark, but he doesn't belong to me either. The money in the bank doesn't belong to me. Everything I have is God's. And everything I have, God calls for me to use for his glory and his glory alone. So, do you have faith? Do you have faith that God is calling you out of your comfort zone? Because through our generosity of heart in all we do, we become witnesses of Christ to the world. Because we live a different way. And at some point, that means you're going to be uncomfortable. But you're going to be uncomfortable in God. And guess what? That's the safest place in the world. It says in our reading today, because of the service by which you proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ.
If you talk about Christ to others and your life is exactly the same as theirs, why should they listen to you? What have you got that they haven't got? If you live the same way, what have you got to offer? So, I would like you to have a moment of silence between you and God and you and God alone. Does anybody not have an envelope that wishes to have one? Right, Sharon, there's an envelope behind you. Could you pass it to... Oh, thanks, Jamie. There's one in front of you, Arthur. Anyone else? Mark, a lady. All right, sorry. Anyone else? Okay. Any more? I am not going to ask you to come to the front in front of everybody, so we can watch who is giving and who isn't. There is a basket on the table by the door, just over here, which, funnily enough, is where you have coffee. So everyone's going to be over there, and you can slip it in, and no one's going to notice. Anyone want pens? Now, if you're online and you're sitting there thinking, well, it's all very well, those in church have got an envelope, I don't. We would like you to either text or call the number that's about to come up on your screen. Is it online? On? Yeah. There you go. Some of you, if you do read your Sparks, might recognise it. So it's 078-2623-0602. You can either text or leave a message on the answer phone. Leave your address and we will post you a pledge pack. So we're going to have a moment of silence where I would like you to go to God and ask, what are you supposed to be giving today? Oh, yeah, no, I was just about to do that. Even if you have signed a gift aid form, please could you do it again? Because we're updating our records. Is that right? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, some people, their address may have changed, and I might not have
the... Yes, so even if you've already filled out a gift aid form, please do it again, because we're checking all our records. You fill out your gift aid form if you pay tax. Because, funnily enough, the government don't give it to us if you don't give it to them first. So, spend time with God, and then in a moment we will start worship. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in the thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the many blessings that you pour upon us. We thank you that you deal with us through love and grace, not through guilt and heavy-handedness. We thank you, Lord, that you allow us to step out in faith and grow, to grow to be more like you in everything we do. Amen.